Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to Get in the Zone. There is no escape on the SNS Radio Network.
We're the two best hosts that anyone could have. We're the two best hosts that anyone could have.
The Bronx Father, Donnie Mirabella.
And Anthony.
My God!
Farley.
Really? Really?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Get in the Zone live from Siberia, otherwise known as New York City, where it's been snowing since fucking last night. And I love the snow. Love it. But thanks for being here on the SNS Radio Network, a podcast being recorded before TLC tomorrow night, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, where our champions will hopefully be merged. WWE title gone, world title gone, and there will be only one. John Cena against Randy Orton again, and we'll have to see what goes down tomorrow night. Makes this pay-per-view actually warranted of being purchased. So good for them for doing that. I'm not alone. I have my host in training on the line. Please welcome to the show, live from porn country, Anthony Farley. What's up, buddy?
Hey there, Bronx. And fortunately, it's nice and dry in this area, even though poor country, we prefer wet.
Well, I mean, here's what happened to me today. I fucking go to the store this afternoon in the shit. Now, there's like about 5 or 6 inches of snow. It's not that bad. And I'm going to 3 separate locations. Now, check out this health regiment I'm on. The liquor store, the fucking cigarette place, and then the butcher to buy red meat. So that was my goal in the beginning. So I head out, I make it to 2 of the 3 stores, and as I'm walking to the last, because there's a ton of snow on the goddamn ground, I miss the curb, and down goes the Bronx Father on his hands and knees like a fucking idiot. I mean, by God, I got a family, damn it.
I know. I had some issue because there was like one of our lights outside that was off. I was showing them where it was. Unfortunately, there's like a patch of ice or wetness there. So I slid. It was iced over. It almost took a header to the fence. But I caught myself. Unfortunately, I whacked my knee on the floor.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to me. I mean, luckily, I just went down to my hands and knees. Not that I'm used to that position, you sick fucks. But you know, it happens. And it was like the thing that I liked is because the weather was such shit, there was nobody else around to see this happen. So I just got up and kept walking. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, probably that's the case now. I know where you see it on YouTube, the incident online.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, when you fall down in New York City, you can't stay down too long because there's a good chance you're going to be mugged. So I said, let me get up as soon as fucking possible and limp my way home. So 3 ibuprofens and a beer later, and I'm good.
You're definitely not straight edge.
No, I don't believe in being straight. I eat red meat, I drink fucking beer, and I smoke cigarettes. I fucking, you know, the world is so screwed up, when I croak, I croak. What are you going to do?
That's true. You're enjoying life, so what's the big problem?
Right. But let's break down, you know, last night, I got home after a really busy week, and I watched SmackDown. Not their best offering as of yet, but it still wasn't bad. Some go-home stuff went down, obviously, as I mentioned before, for TLC. We're going to break right into that because I want to go over what went down with John Cena, who I thought last night once again knocked a promo out of the park. The shit at the end with Randy Orton. Of course, he agreed to apologize to the authority for what went down on Monday Night Raw. If you didn't see that before we get started, during a melee at the end of Raw, Stephanie McMahon inadvertently got knocked down by Randy Orton. Randy Orton then ate a pedigree from Triple H for his troubles. And last night, he decided that he wanted to get back in the good graces of the authority. But let's start from the beginning and go over what went down last night on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah. Y'all know what it is. Sometimes you gotta push through all your obstacles, know what I mean? No matter what the options are, there is no lose, there is no fail. Let's go.
The sky turns black, it don't matter. We know.
And now it's time for the SmackDown Breakdown, where I
layeth the smacketh down on your candy ass.
Only on Get in the Zone.
So, the end of Raw is shown, which I briefly described. If you didn't see it, you should go back and see it. It was awesome. There was a bunch of former champions in the ring, and everyone attacked everyone. And Stephanie ends up getting knocked down inadvertently by Randy Orton. But at the beginning, the belts are again shown hanging above the ring, the world title and the WWE title. And our first match is Daniel Bryan versus Rowan of the Wyatt family. And again, Daniel Bryan gets this ridiculously huge pop. So Rowan gets the upper hand at the beginning with a fallaway slam to Daniel Bryan. Bryan makes a comeback, and he takes out Luke Harper on the apron, because of course Harper is there, along with Bray Wyatt in his rocking chair at ringside. Rowan over the top rope. Bray trips Daniel Bryan. And that causes the ref to issue a win for Daniel Bryan via disqualification. Now, Harper and Rowan are about to attack Daniel Bryan in the ring, but he manages to escape by sliding to the outside. And much like a disgruntled nursing home employee, he knees Bray to the face and knocks him right out of his fucking rocking chair, which was actually quite humorous. And Daniel Bryan walks off with chance of yes, yes, yes. So as of last night, Daniel Bryan getting the upper hand on Bray Wyatt. Zeb Coulter comes out and says he's walking around this town. He sees some fat guy dressed as Santa holding out his hand and saying Feliz Navidad. Now, this is someone who can't speak English and is asking for a handout that sounds like an illegal alien to him. Zeb doesn't like anyone sneaking across our borders, especially from the North Pole, which got a huge pop from me. You know, take a pause here. With all the people chanting, "We the People," I think WWE really needs to be very careful that these guys don't get turned face. Have you noticed that?
I think it's mostly because fans are starting to really support Cesaro. Because if you look at the NXT, even though he's a heel, the fans are with him all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I think they just respect what we see from Cesaro. They're just like, oh, we'll tolerate these guys. Because even when they do these backstage fallouts from the Raws and SmackDowns, Cesaro's kind of fun to watch when they actually interview him and the guys.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's where the "We the People" chants come from. Because even during the match, which the Real Americans went up against the tag team champions, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Now, Cody gets isolated early. gets beat up on, but then he manages to tag in Goldust. And there's a blind tag by Jack Swagger to Antonio Cesaro. Cesaro dumps Goldust to the outside, and Swagger gets the advantage on Goldust. And via a distraction by Jack Swagger, Cesaro pins Cody Rhodes. So technically, these guys have pinned the tag team champions. Now, we'll have more on this later. They have a segment where they show basically the entire match on Monday Night Raw, where Sin Cara defeated Alberto Del Rio, Sin Cara being Hunico, if you didn't know. And this is the match where Alberto Del Rio unfortunately suffered a concussion. Now, we have Bad News Barrett. He has a gavel now. And he tells the fans, on Monday you surpassed yourselves by voting in record numbers. You brought fresh hope into a group of otherwise hopeless superstars. The bad news is, and he keeps saying decorum. Every time the fans cut him off, decorum. I don't know what the fuck. The bad news is, while you were voting for winners, all of you were the losers, and ultimately, your opinions were worthless. That's almost a backward shot. And I know this isn't how it was supposed to be taken, that the voting for the Slammies are bullshit. I don't know if anyone else got that.
And I think it's just, when he was saying decorum, says, please, let me get, I know this angle of mine sucks, but let me just get through it, okay? Please, let me just get through this crap.
Yeah, this is almost like a fucking TNA angle. I mean, it's that bad. I just don't know. I don't know. This guy hasn't even wrestled a match. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing with this guy. Like I said, mentioned it on Unplugged. I feel sorry for him. Damian Sandow versus Mark Henry. And now, in our first round of guest commentary for the evening, we have Big E on commentary. Damian Sandow's thrown to the outside. And quickly, Sandow gets himself counted out. So your winner is Mark Henry. But Big E throws Sandow back in the ring to get beat up by Mark Henry. Sandow, though, ends up knocking Big E off the apron and says, this Sunday. And he runs to the back and Big E goes after him. We have no end to this as Big E is chasing Damian Sandow to the backstage area. The Bellas versus Tamina and AJ. Natty on commentary, the second one for the evening. Brie with some great offense in on AJ. Tamina breaks up a pin attempt, but Brie Bella ends up tapping to the Black Widow. Now, with that said, I really, really have a feeling that Natalya's taking the title this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering too, because AJ has done a decent job with the Divas titles as she's been doing, but in a way it's like, okay, give Natty a shot, then maybe we can have the rematch at the Rumble. Cause no offense, I mean, after Natty, who's AJ gonna face? Eva Marie, which heaven forbid that happens.
Yeah, and they've been giving Natalya a lot of wins lately via the sharpshooter, and that was even mentioned on the commentary last night. Well, AJ can lock in that Black Widow at any time, but, you know, Natty has the sharpshooter. So it's going to be interesting to see. I almost would have liked this to have been a submission match, but we're not getting that.
And yeah, maybe that'll be what they can do for a rematch if they go with a rematch. So at least that's something. They're making us wonder, give us at least a somewhat caring for the Divas matches.
Fucking snowplows.
It's the Plow King.
No shit.
I'm Mr. Plow.
That's my name. My name again is Mr. Plow.
Wow. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, anything new from The Simpsons I don't care for. Sorry. That, Family Guy, and South Park are overlived their value.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's about South Park I haven't watched in a long time.
Me either. I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to what we were doing, which is the fucking SmackDown Breakdown, John Cena comes out and says things are heating up after all the energy on Raw. And the crowd was pretty pro-Cena, I have to say. For the first time, the two champions have willingly given away their titles. And 99% of all WWE superstars will never hold either one of these belts. Now, why did Randy and myself give our belts away? Because of the moment this Sunday. Even a crybaby simpleton like Orton knows this needs to happen. Orton doesn't know what it will take to make it happen. Cena knows Orton for 12 years. They were even friends at some point. And though Orton is brutal, physical, and calculating, and the apex predator, in 12 years you learn weaknesses too. And Orton, boy, you have a glass jaw. Anytime things don't go your way, Randy, you run. And this Sunday, there's nowhere to hide. And what's going to happen is you're going to get hurt. I'm going to hit you with tables, ladders, chairs. And Cena says he knows what's going to happen. Orton will give up. Orton might be great, but there'll come a point this Sunday where Orton can't stand up anymore. And at that point, Orton has to make a decision. Does he keep going and keep fighting, or does he do what he's done for the last 12 years, make an excuse, and take the easy way out? Orton just doesn't have the nuts, and they will crown one champ, and that champ is here. Again, I have to say, this was a really good promo by Cena, but it almost sounded like when he put over Orton at the beginning, it was almost like a little bit of a concession, because we've heard that Randy Orton was pissed off about that promo on Monday night.
Yeah, because in some ways it was a shoe, because Orton, every time they give him a shot with it, something happens and he either injured or he's suspended, then had to do something else. So, but in the way they're doing this, it's making us feel like, okay, Orton, it's do or die. You have to win this match. Or basically everything you done was for nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as Orton getting pissed off, I mean, I don't, there's been so many different opinions on the internet. I just think you got to suck it up. You know, there's some rumors that other people are pissed off that John Cena went off script. But you know what, man? That's what we used to have in wrestling. Remember back in the day when a promo was fucking honest and people just, you know, did it a shoot and got guidelines and shit wasn't scripted. I like that better, and I have no problem with Cena going off the script a little bit. If people are pissed off, grow up.
Yeah, I've been talking to people, saw these reviews for Raw. They all complain about, oh, he just used Daniel Bryan to get himself over. Maybe in the way that was true, or maybe it was helped to get Bryan more of a rub. So, heck, just because I'm the guy right now does not mean this person right here does not deserve it.
Right.
In other words, be on the lookout for Daniel Bryan.
Right. I mean, I had no problem with the way that went down. And if there are people who are legitimately pissed off, maybe you're pissed off because you don't remember the days when wrestling promos were mostly a shoot. So that's the problem. But
yeah, it's like when a heel used to make fun, like Rick Rude used to insult the crowd and all that. It was to get heat. So in other words, a face would try to do something to get the fans on his side. So when I go for the guy who's quote-unquote the hometown guy.
Right, especially if you're getting booed. I mean, like I said, last night it was a lot better for Cena. The crowd was pretty good on Cena. But Monday night, he just got shit on. So yeah, the same way, you know, a heel does shit to get heat. A babyface is going to do something to get them over with too. And what better way to get over than attach yourself to the guy who's, you know, more over than you are. And I don't mean attached in the way that Nikki attaches herself to John Cena. I mean attached in as far as, you know, getting face heat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just, you know, everybody needs to just kind of chill out. Everyone's too fucking sensitive nowadays. But
yeah, it's the IWC. When was the last time we actually heard everybody actually agreeing with something?
Never.
Yeah, no offense. Remember, everyone was all happy about what happened at SummerSlam, where JJ, the devil himself, predicted what was going to happen, everyone's like, yes, yes, that's good. But there's a majority of the IWC says, oh, no, this sucks, man.
Yeah, and the majority is, unfortunately, they're not the actual majority, but they're the loudest and they're the most negative. And the most negative people seem to be the ones who are the loudest. So that's, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're trying to say. I mean, it's just, and I also think WWE kind of feeds into the IWC ignorance by purposely putting shit out there that's going to make the IWC go nuts. So, you know, you have to be a fool to not think that WWE doesn't try to play us like fiddles. But let's move on to our next match on SmackDown. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus the Usos with Dean Ambrose on commentary. I don't know where this guest commentary shit's coming from. Seth Rollins gets double teamed at first. And the main part of this match was really the commentary, because Michael Cole says perhaps Dean Ambrose has alienated himself from the Shield a bit. And Cole points out all the problems there have been. And I have to say, Cole did a good job on this. He really did. Ambrose says, well, you know what, man? Everyone in the Shield are passionate individuals. Their passion for the business shows through sometimes, and that's all that happened. You know, we got no problems. Meanwhile, in the ring, the Shield gets back in control. Now, again, Cole asks Dean Ambrose, did Triple H sick you on CM Punk because of the stuff that CM Punk said about you? And Ambrose says, you know, again, very aloof in mind your own business. Cole says, what if you guys lose to CM Punk this Sunday? And all Ambrose has to say is that won't happen. And he gives these bunch of examples. Oh, Santa Claus could come through the ceiling right now, or the world could explode, but it's not going to happen, so we're not breaking up. Don't worry about it. That was the gist of it. In the ring, a savage DDT to Roman Reigns by Jimmy Uso, and a Samoan drop to Rollins. 2 3/4 count, literally. A kick to the jaw of Rollins, and Rollins gets dumped to the outside. He eats an Uso dive on the outside. Roman Reigns with a spear on the outside, and both the Usos are messed up. But one of them manages to get back in the ring barely at the 10 count, like a 9 3/4 count. And the match ends with Seth Rollins mocking the GTS. He has one of the Usos, I believe it was Jimmy, up on his shoulders, and he drops him as if he's going to do the GTS, but Jimmy lands on his feet, which he probably would have been better off taking to go to sleep, because as he lands on his feet, Roman Reigns comes out of the corner and breaks his spine into 2 equal pieces for the pin with the spear. That spear is fucking sick. Now, at the end of the match, CM Punk comes on the Titantron, and he's taping his wrist very slowly and methodically. And he's broadcasting from the basement of the arena. It's filthy. It stinks. And this is where the Shield likes to hang out. And CM Punk takes a little knock at Triple H by alluding to how he knocked him the fuck out on Raw. Punk says again, I may be going down, but the question is, how many of you am I taking with me? The last time I exposed your weaknesses, believe in the best in the world. I still don't think there's any way the Shield doesn't break up Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah, but I like when you said, last 2 times I faced you guys, I expressed your weaknesses. And they, right after the promo, they got a close-up of Dean Ambrose. He's like, and just by a look at his face, like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, and this was one time only, where the shit on commentary, I didn't mind at all. It was actually well done. I liked the way Michael Cole basically interviewed Ambrose. It did it detract from the match a little bit? Yeah, it did. But you've seen these guys wrestle each other, the Usos and them, so many times. I didn't mind it. It helped allude to what's going to happen at the pay-per-view, with Cole kind of grilling Dean. So that worked out fine for me. I enjoyed the guest commentary during that match. I know a lot of people Again, Mike disagree with me, but that's fine.
I liked it too, but then JBL doing being the whole heel side of the commentary coming in says, "Oh, why are you doing all these ignorant questions like that?" I'm like, "Shut up, man."
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's just like he has to chime in. Cole was doing fine, then you got to get this idiot asking all these ignorant questions because he's trying to sell a pay-per-view. I don't know. Vicky Guerrero adds another match to TLC this Sunday. A fatal four-way tag team match for the titles. It'll be Cody and Goldust against the Real Americans, against Curtis Axel and Ryback, against Mysterio and The Big Show. This ups this pay-per-view quite a bit in my mind. I'm looking really forward to this match.
Yeah, me too, because adding Big Show and Rey Mysterio is just like, okay, we got to put these guys in the pay-per-view, so let's put them together.
Yeah.
Well, this has potential of being a good match right here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm wondering if we might see new champions this Sunday simply because, how long has it been that the Rhodes brothers have held the titles now?
I think since October.
October, November, December, 2 months in back in the day wouldn't have been much, but nowadays that's quite a bit. Don't be surprised. This is going to be a hard one to pick. Don't be surprised if perhaps you see new champions this Sunday, but we'll talk about that a little later when we go over the TLC card. Right now we have the Big Show versus Ryback. The Big Show does his chops in the corner to Ryback, and Ryback fucking spine busters the Big Show. And I was like, I actually wrote damn in my notes because I was like, holy shit. But then Ryback has to eat a choke slam. Good night. The Big Show goes over. Curtis Axel tries to interfere and he gets hit with the 619. So our heels are taken out. Now, here's where things start to get weird. Bray Wyatt cuts a promo. "I thought I saw something in you, Daniel Bryan. I put my neck on the line for you. Deceiver. Lies. There's a place in the meadow. A place you can hide. And I sing this lullaby to all my pets before I put them down." The fuck? I love Bray Wyatt, man. It almost looks like he was surprised and hurt by getting kneed in the face. Well, you've been fucking with Daniel Bryan for a month now. What did you expect to happen?
But it just shows that one of the reasons why WWE is apparently so high on Bray Wyatt, because he can do a promo that makes you go, what the hell? It makes you go, that's somebody you got to worry about.
But you know what was funny, man? Bray was still fucked up. He didn't have his hat on. He like didn't have his equilibrium. Even though this was almost an hour after he got kneed in the face, he was still selling it. He was still selling that Daniel Bryan legit fucked him up. And if you saw that knee, it looked pretty goddamn stiff. I mean, that rocking chair collapsed. I mean, Bryan knocked the shit out of him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to these 2 3-on-1 matches, but the sad thing is, and I don't know if this makes sense, as much as I hate 3-on-1 matches, they're doing a hell of a fucking job of selling them, aren't they?
Hell yeah. I mean, it would have been kind of good if maybe at least one of them had a stipulation or something, but you're making us go like, okay, are we going to see both the one guy against the three win? We're actually going to see the odds be in the favor win.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to get one where the heels are obviously going to win because of the numbers, but then we're going to get another one with a baby face, really. And as much as I love CM Punk, see, it's weird because Punk would be my natural choice because of the dissension that seems to be brewing between the Shield. But on the other hand, Daniel Bryan is so fucking hot, do you make him lose? I would be shocked if both baby faces went over.
Yeah, I think it's more of a chance of seeing both heels sides win than the both faces.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Again, you know, we're talking about the pay-per-view, so, you know, that's a good thing. But let's close this up. Now, I found this real interesting. Alberto Del Rio comes out, and he's set to fight Kofi Kingston. Now, obviously, SmackDown was recorded the Tuesday night after Raw, where we already knew ADR had a concussion, so I knew something was going to happen here, and it does. The Miz comes out and hits Kofi on the outside with the skull-crushing finale before he can even get in the ring, and Miz tells Kofi, "Now we're even." We see those little segments on the internet where Michael Cole interviews Triple H, and Triple H says Randy Orton has asked to apologize for tonight, and he'll give him the opportunity. But Triple H is going to look Randy Orton in the eye and listen to the amount of bass in his voice, and that will determine whether he accepts his apology or not. So, let's add a little music here to kind of set the mood, okay? Randy Orton comes out, and Randy Orton says that on Raw, an unspeakable accident took place. An accident caused Stephanie to get knocked down, and I want to apologize to Stephanie and Hunter face to face. And Michael Cole is mentioning how the universe is saying maybe now Cena's the big thing with the authority. Randy Orton tells Triple H when he comes out, "You know me best. What happened to Stephanie was a mistake. I mean, I feel terrible." And he shows the video. And Daniel Bryan, he did. He did push Orton into Stephanie as Orton was going for the RKO. Randy Orton tells Hunter, "If you still doubt me, here's the same footage but with a different angle." And now, what's really a shame is the fans could give less than a fuck about Stephanie's health because the arena is inundated with yes chants. Orton says, "I know you've seen the tape before. You know things went wrong, and I really do want to apologize. And please, Triple H, accept my apology." And Triple H says, "Listen, if you called me out here to show me footage, I've seen it already. You know, this is my, I run shit around here. And you're right, a lot of things did go wrong." And Triple H says, "You know, I don't apologize for anything ever. We both know I could fire you over this, but I'm not going to do that because it wouldn't be what's best for business. For this one time only, I'm going to accept your apology." And Randy Orton thanks him. And Orton says, "I know you have my back. After everything went down Monday, I have a question for you though, Triple H." And the video is shown with Cena helping Triple H get Stephanie up off the mat. And Randy Orton says, "I want an explanation of why you, Stephanie, and Kane were standing next to Cena. What am I supposed to think, Hunter? But when I beat John Cena, I'll be the best ever. But what I need to know before that happens is, do you guys have the same faith in me that I have in myself?" And the fans chant, "No, no, no." And Triple H says, "Don't worry about it." They shake hands. And Triple H says, "We know exactly where our faith lies." And Triple H leaves, leaving a very concerned Randy Orton in the ring. So I think at this point, Orton is looking at it as if, you know, I don't know, man. You know, what was up with that? But that was SmackDown. Pretty good go-home show. We didn't expect to have the kind of ending we had on Raw. But I still enjoyed it where Orton isn't sure if the authority has his back.
Yeah, you can see he's like, "I want to keep these guys on my side." That's made like that was what Orton was looking like doing. He was just trying to say, "I gotta stay in the good graces of the authority. You gotta make sure I'm on their side still." So, in other words, I don't want to get on the receiving end of everything that's been I've been in favor of for the last couple months.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it goes to show that you know there's some truth to what Cena says when he says that Orton is scared to do anything by himself. And it looks like Orton's kind of playing into that. Here's my thing. Sunday, if Orton wins because of the authorities' help, the problem I think I have with that is it justifies everything that Cena has said. What I would really like to see, what I'd love to see, is Orton win the Undisputed title on his own. This way, that instantly unlocks the ability for him to talk mad shit to Cena. If he wins with help, you fuck it up, because then, even though Orton can brag about being the Undisputed Champion, Cena can also come out and say, well, yeah, big deal, you're the Undisputed Champion, but you prove my point, you couldn't do it on your own.
And that's what, because everyone's already assuming whoever wins this match, we're just going to see a rematch again at the Rumble, which it could very likely happen, but maybe not. Something can happen where, let's say, Cena does get beaten fair and square, and then on Raw he goes like this, heck, Orton, come out here. I want to say, I said all this stuff about you. You know what? Last night you proved me wrong. So I'm going to say, congratulations. And he actually shakes his hand. Then something happens. Like, say somebody attacks Cena. Then Cena's on to a new feud.
Yeah, I could see that. Or maybe to really put a period at the end of it, you know, Randy Orton, after they shake hands, he RKOs John Cena. And the interesting thing about a rematch, you know, you mentioned about a rematch. Well, here's what's funny. If you really want to, pull a screw job, you could do this. Whoever wins, their rematch clause is for their respective title. If Cena wins, Orton would have a rematch clause for the WWE title. And if Orton wins, Cena would have a rematch clause for the World Heavyweight title, which no longer exists. So I could see Triple H pulling some shit and saying, hold on, your rematch clause is invalid because it's a clause for a title we no longer have. So whoever lost, whether it's Orton or whether it's Cena, you've got to climb the ladder again if you want to fight to be the Undisputed Champ. That's a way you could go.
Yeah, I said, you know what? We're going to find out who's going to face the new champion at the Royal Rumble, have like a tournament, and whoever lost the match on the pay-per-view is in the tournament. Pure and simple.
Right, because, you know, the rematch clauses for those two titles are null and void because they don't exist anymore. We'll see, man. We're talking a lot more about TLC than we thought we would, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a lot more about TLC. We're going to run down the card for you, the complete card, and then we're going to talk a little news before getting out of here for the evening. So with that said, this is Get in the Zone. We'll be right back with more right here on the SNS Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
Gentlemen, SNS Unplugged has returned to the airwaves. You can check out the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as they discuss the happenings from Monday Night Raw, NXT, the latest news of the week, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. And then things get a little interesting as the topics could change from week to week, including topics such as the supernatural, conspiracy theories. Basically, whatever the hell these guys want to talk about, they're going to cover it every Tuesday night right here on the SNS Radio Network. SNS Unplugged is back, baby. Uncensored. Unbelievable. Unplugged.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time.
Hey guys, this is Ashley.
And this is Sandro.
And we're here to make sure that you check out the whole indie show each week on the SNS Radio Network, as both of us, along with our other co-host Randy, cover everything that you need to know on all things indie wrestling.
It's your place for all the most recent indie news and event results, reviews of the latest shows from all the major promotions, and previews for all the upcoming events. We also want your feedback on any indie stuff you may have seen as well.
Plus, you know, you never know, you might even get a few paperclip references now and then. So for all that and much more, listen to the whole indie show every week here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest-running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years, and just like Wrestling News Live, it's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com. Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. Just a reminder for you to listen to Sunday Night Showdown every pay-per-view Sunday, as I'll be joined by my broadcast partner, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, Harmony Boom Boom Jackson, and Mark the Shark DiCarlo, as we provide the best pay-per-view coverage of the WWE. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, every pay-per-view Sunday. Sunday Night Showdown, your home for WWE pay-per-view coverage.
And now back to Get In The Zone with the Bronx Father on the SNS Radio Network.
All right, guys, welcome back to Get In The Fucking Zone here on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father, and if you hear that I'm a little pissed off, it's because my superintendent has been using a shovel the entire day. But as soon as I start to record, he decides to break out the snowblower. And by snowblower, I don't mean Frosty the Snowman's prostitute. I mean a fucking snowblower. Now, while he didn't use that at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., I don't know. But at 10 p.m. at night, let's blow snow all over the fucking place. So the background noise isn't Anthony farting, it's the fucking snowblower. Speaking of Anthony, he is my co-host in training, Anthony Farley. What's up?
Everything's fine. Just had to go turn on my Christmas lights. I just forgot it's nighttime. Put on the lights. Now I just had to get my dog inside.
It's a good time to do it. Well, out there it's not 10 fucking degrees, so your dog can stay outside for a little bit at least. But here, unfortunately, we got snow a-blowing. Beautiful time, we're happy tonight. Getting annoyed until 3 a.m. That's fucking fucking New York. Before we break down the TLC card, I want to talk, got a couple news stories. I have a few. Anthony has one he wants to share with us. But this is a little bit of good news for TNA. Thursday's Feast or Fired edition of Impact Wrestling drew a 1.11 rating, up from last week's show, which hit the 1.0 benchmark right on the head. Viewership was up 1.3 million viewers from last week's 1.24 million viewers. Next week's big Final Resolution television special should bump up the ratings even more, with a new TNA World Champion being decided and a 2 out of 3 falls match between Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode. I might have to lift the boycott because I haven't read who wins that match and I don't want to know. But a 2 out of 3 between Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode, I might have to at the very least check that match out, because that you know is going to be a kick-ass match.
Yeah, because basically they have not had a bad match every time they fought each other. I mean, the first one they had at Bound for Glory a couple years ago, there was the whole backstage and Angle basically being injured like hell. But that was overall a decent match. So
yeah,
if they allowed to go, they can go.
Well, I mean, if they give them enough time. I mean, you know, one of the big problems with TNA is that they don't give these good main events enough time. But I might just flip it on, you know, next week with a half hour or 45 minutes left and just check out that match. If I do, we'll talk about it, because I'm certainly looking forward to that match.
But I don't think that's going to be the last match. I think it's going to be the Magnus versus Hardy for the title.
Oh, that means I might have to watch the whole thing. I really do want to see this match. So, well, if I don't watch it next week, if I don't watch it on Thursday, I'll watch it the next night and just fast forward to that match, because that's really all I give a shit about. But Angle and Roode, 2 out of 3. Yeah, I think that has a lot of potential to be awesome. This was a tweet that's been going around, two tweets by former WWE diva Jillian Hall, and she told fans on Twitter she was in the hospital recovering from falling down the stairs at her boyfriend's house. In the first tweet, where she posts a picture, "I'm in the hospital with head trauma. Yes, I did fall down the stairs in my boyfriend's house." She then tweets, "My head is throbbing, but I did at least avoid getting stitched up. Darn those stairs." Now, if you guys haven't seen these pictures, you can find them on her Twitter account if you follow her. You can find them on the web. I don't know, man. I mean, you could also check the SNS Radio Network Facebook page where the pictures were posted. I don't know, man. I've fallen downstairs, and I've seen people fall downstairs. And it, to me, and again, I can't confirm this in any way, shape, or form, she doesn't look like she fell down the stairs. She looks like somebody hit her. And she's at her boyfriend's house, so I don't know. Again, we are not on this show accusing anyone of anything, because we don't know. I'm telling you what I see in these pictures. And she looked like she got hit in the fucking face.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some people get hurt from going downstairs and all that, but the after images is like, that's really questionable. But like Bronx said, we can't confirm or deny that it's happened. So we have to wait if there's any more news about it. I mean, if we find out like a week later that something similar has happened again, or like she walked into a door, then you really have to question.
Well, I will say this, you know, and again, we don't know, but you know, to all you ladies out there, don't cover for these motherfuckers. You know, any guy who beats on a woman, I don't give a shit how much the woman pisses you off, and believe me, women can piss you off, just fucking walk out, just leave, you know. But if you're getting fucking abused in any way, do not cover for a motherfucker. And like I said, just buy the pictures. It looks to me like this isn't completely legit, but maybe it is. that's Jillian's decision. If she wants to make that decision and cover for somebody, well, sorry, I don't feel sorry for you. If you did fall down the stairs, then I do feel sorry for you. I'm sorry, that's too bad. But covering for some punk-ass, bitch-ass motherfucker who wants to hit on a woman, you're digging your own grave. It's just going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, hopefully if it is what everyone's been speculating or at least thinking it could happen, here's hope. Hopefully that she'll go like, okay, it's enough, and get away. If not, well, then watch yourself when you go down the steps.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's not all about me. Anthony has a contribution. Give me that news story, man, about Mark Henry. What's going down?
Well, Dave Meltzer is apparently reporting that Mark Henry, after his contract ends, which is in another 2 years, is considering retiring and working with children in urban communities. And apparently, since Henry's now 42, he actually considered retiring before he signed his current deal with the WWE. So most likely, this is probably the most chance of Henry leaving after he's done in 2015 or 2016. That's it for the World's Strongest Man.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, I can see that. And you can see with him, you know, helping out Big E Langston and working with Big E Langston and, you know, helping him to get over. I like Mark Henry, but I think, you know, he really, really came into his own later on, the latter part of his career, which is unfortunate. Because in the beginning, he wasn't the greatest promo. He wasn't the greatest in the ring. And that reflected because they put him in these stupid things like, you know, Mae Young giving birth to the hand and the whole transvestite angle, which I don't want to get into because I've tried to forget. But, you know.
Yeah, I think the reason why is because they got him such on a high deal when it was like in 96. That's when WWE's finances were probably not so high. They were trying to give him some of these real, like, what the hell angles and stuff just so maybe he'll quit so they didn't have to pay him so much. But he's like, screw that, man. You're paying me. I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, fuck
yeah.
It.
You know? And technically, he's one of the longest employees they have that's an athlete, competitive wrestler while being like released and coming back. I mean, I think only like really what Undertaker technically might be beating him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to say that. I mean, you know, obviously I wish him all the best and, you know, let's see what the next 2 years bring. And I think when he retires, he's definitely a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. And you know what? If he wants to go back to his community and he wants to help out young people, you know, he's an Olympian. He's the world's strongest man. He's legit won these you know, strongman contests. So he's a good role model. So if he has something, you know, a lot of wrestlers retire and they go into obscurity. They don't have anything planned after wrestling. He's a guy that does. And kudos to him. So I wish him, if this is legit and he's going to retire, then I wish him all the best of luck.
Yeah, because there's been rumors, speculations about some other guys probably retiring in a couple years, like CM Punk, Del Rio. There's been wondering if Rey Mysterio is going to retire, because no offense, he has knees like a 70-year-old right now with so many surgeries.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt. And I know where you're coming from. That's not you making fun. It's legit. It's true. The guy's knees are fucking dust. So, you know, maybe he's working with the Big Show right now. I think that's to minimize his in-ring. And I think at the end, maybe he'll end up working with Hunico, helping to put him over as the new Sin Cara. But,
Then Samurai Del Sol, who's under the name Kalisto in NXT.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I think Mysterio would have no problem doing that, putting some guys over.
Now, yeah, that's why they paired him up with Sin Cara to get himself over for their match at Mania. Unfortunately, Sin Bacha could not freaking deal with the WWE style, so he's basically going to leave in a couple months.
Yeah, and if you want to hear some real Sin Cara or Mystico shitting on, check out the Unplugged archive from this last Tuesday. The final thing we're going to talk about tonight as far as news goes is, let me ask you, Anthony. Haven't you always wanted to learn a martial art? I mean, haven't you always wanted to learn how to defend yourself and be a badass? Like, I know you watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z, as do I, and we're both fans of the series. Don't you want to just be able to handle yourself in any situation and defend yourself against all the scourges out there? I know I do.
Yeah, I would like to be like the... Well, here's some of those DBZ fan knowledge. I would like to be the Goku Vegeta, but unfortunately, in real life, I'm like the Yamcha.
Right. Well, I mean, at least Yamcha kicks some people's asses, but I mean, you know. But here's the deal, man. If you find yourself in a bar, and I had to get the audio from this just so everyone knows I'm not making this up. Sonny, who we've talked about a lot on this network, is now pimping out this book, which I believe is called Bar Jitsu, which teaches you how to defend yourself in bar fights and also apparently pick up women. Just Anthony hasn't heard this before. I refused to play this for him until we were actually doing the podcast. Check this out from her own mouth. Here's Sonny telling you what to do at a bar.
Have you ever been that lonely guy standing in the corner of a bar, lacking the confidence to approach a beautiful woman or even defend yourself if needed? Well, this is the book for you. Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, filled with tips, techniques, and stories aimed to help you become the barroom stud that you've always wanted to be. Pick up your copy of Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, online or at a bookstore near you.
Now, I apologize for the audio quality of that. I spent about 5 minutes trying to clean it up as best I can. That there tells you exactly how, you know, great this book is going to be. I mean, since when do you need instructions on a bar fight? I always thought that the goal in a bar fight is to just simply do as much damage to your opponent as possible. There's no rules. And, you know, if you're shy with the ladies, well, who needs to be shy around her? I mean, Jesus Christ, all you got to do is open your wallet and you're getting a blowjob in the back 5 minutes later.
Oh, God. The views of the Bronx Father are his alone and not representing the SNS network.
And now the super's gone back to the shovel. You hear the scraping outside? Like fucking Sonny scraping her rear end across a bare floor.
That's...
That's now my super switching back to the shovel. My life truly does suck.
Oh, crap.
I mean, we go from cuddling, okay? We go from cuddling to learning how to fight in a bar. Is this a... And the sad thing is, this is... You know, I'm almost intrigued. It's one of those things... Morbid curiosity. It's like when you're driving down the street and you pull up to a car accident and you slow down and look. You don't look because you're actually glad anyone is hurt, unless you're a sick fuck. You don't look for that. It's called morbid curiosity, where you just want to see what happened. And I would almost want to somehow get my hands on a copy of this book just to see what the fuck is in it.
Yeah, you gotta wonder what she's gonna say. Like, how to freaking get out of the bar tab. And freaking, good lord with her. This is just her trying to get more money. No offense. Apparently she has medical issues right now, so she's trying to scrape some money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, she's not breaking any laws. I mean, we're just having a little fun at her expense. But it's just funny. I mean, I don't know. Again, judging by the quality of that awesome promo, I don't know, you know, how much she's getting paid for this. I can't imagine it's much. You know, the reason I think I keep making fun of her is that it's not because I'm callous to the fact that she might have medical issues. It's that she has, unfortunately, it's like when you cry wolf, she's proven herself to be an attention whore in the past. And it almost worries me that that whole thing may be bullshit. If she legit has medical issues, I wish her the best of luck. I don't want to see anything happen to the girl. but you've just cried wolf too many times, and I'm going to keep poking fun at you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I remember WWE silently was wondering, oh, God, we put her in the Hall of Fame. And it's probably one also, like, Billy Graham, didn't he, like, want to exclude himself from the Hall of Fame now because of something like this?
Well, originally, I think, wasn't Billy Graham's whole deal was he was butthurt about Abdullah being inducted?
Yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms.
We're not even going to get into that. I mean, the guy hocked his Hall of Fame ring, so, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know. You know, once you're in, you're in. To me, it's not really a real legit Hall of Fame. I can just hear the guy now, it's real to me, damn it. But, sorry, it's not. I don't know, man. The news is a constant, no matter how. You always sometimes, you know, I get ready to do a show and I say, what am I going to talk about? And all I have to do is hit the news sites. Oh, 5 fucking hours of content for my show tonight. This is awesome. It writes itself. But now let's get into our last segment. We're going to run down the card for tomorrow night's TLC pay-per-view, talk about some of the matches, and of course, early plug, you can check out Sunday Night Showdown tomorrow night. We'll give you all the pay-per-view coverage you could ever need. We'll be covering it live. And looking forward to seeing who will be crowned, because they're guaranteeing it. Who will be crowned the new Undisputed Champion? So let's get right into it. Tomorrow night, Sunday, we have the TLC pay-per-view. And the matches are rather interesting. We've got 7 matches, one of them which obviously is your pre-show YouTube match. And let's break down. The first one I want to break down is the tag team titles are on the line with the champions Goldust and Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio and Big Show versus Ryback and Curtis Axel versus the Real Americans in a fatal four-way. This, I think, is a good addition to the pay-per-view with the, you know, prevalence of tag team wrestling that they've been doing the last couple of weeks. This was a good match to add, and I'm actually looking pretty forward to it. I'm thinking it might be your curtain jerker.
Yeah, but as you've seen, they had this as a curtain jerker for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, I believe, and that was like almost the match of the night, or in some cases was the match of the night. So in a way, I think this can be a show stealer if they do it right. Or at least in the top 3 matches of the night.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd agree with that. I mean, you know, I have no problem with the first match being a great match because it gets the crowd going, and, you know, that's, I'm all for that. So we'll wait and see. I don't know. I'm thinking possibly new tag champions, but we'll see because Goldust and Cody right now are pretty much on fire. We have our Intercontinental Champion, Big E Langston, for the title versus Damian Sandow. And, wow. I mean, Big E just won the title. He's doing well with the title. But, it's hard to say, because if you don't let Damian go over tomorrow night, what's left for him?
I'm just saying if they do have it where Langston keeps it, I'm saying keep this thing going. This can be a legitimate good IC title feud. They let this go.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, we'll see. Damian Sandow, the Money in the Bank, and that was a whole rigmarole, and that never went anywhere with him. Since they broke him up with Cody Rhodes, I like Damian Sandow. I think he's a good promo. He's great in the ring. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him come the future. So tomorrow night will be a big... If he straight up loses, yeah, I know what you're saying. You could keep it going. But if he won, it might give him a little shot in the arm.
Yeah, I'm surprised maybe they have it where he gets pinned, let's say, but his foot was on the rope and the ref didn't see it. Then he can have it where, no, I deserve another shot and all that, or you just something to make Langston demand like another match with him.
Yeah, you might make Damian lose, but you still make him look strong. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That works. Another one that I'm a little indecisive about for the Divas title, AJ Lee versus Natalya Neidhart. I mean, sympathetically, I like Natalya and I like AJ. This one's really hard for me to call. I'm a little bit more emotionally invested in this match than I usually am in a Divas match because these are two girls who can actually wrestle. This isn't a match that I'm going to ever label a piss break. I think it's going to be a good match. Both these girls have these devastating submissions, and I think that's the type of match you're going to see. You know, the announcers are going to pimp out who can get, you know, a submission first, the Black Widow or the Sharpshooter. So I'm actually looking forward to a Divas match on a pay-per-view. Who knew?
Yeah, and I believe you said that you were hoping that maybe this would be a submission match. I'm kind of hoping this continues where the rematch will be that stipulation. And let's say after this angle's done, let's say they bring some women's wrestler from NXT, like Paige or Emma, something like that, and have her be the next in line for the title.
It's possible, my brother. It's possible. You know, there's a lot of scenarios that are going to come at it tomorrow night. Again, you know, a pay-per-view that I at first wasn't looking forward to, but now I've... Because it's so hard to call, it makes it interesting to me. Now, you talk about two matches that are going to be really hard to call. Let's go over our 2 3-on-1 matches. First of all, obviously, CM Punk versus all three members of The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, 3-on-1 handicap match. And just in case you didn't know, CM Punk will in fact have no one to tag to in his corner.
Shocker.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure we pimped that out. I mean, JBL does it 10 times a fucking minute, so why can't we? Again, if you want to break up the Shield, here's where you're going to do it. If you don't, then I don't really see how Punk can go over unless you have
him get beat up afterward.
Yeah, I mean, unless he gets lucky. You know, the whole point is getting lucky. And that's not shitting on CM Punk. It's just, it is what it is. You know, me, I can't think of three guys who 3-on-1 I could whip their ass. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, it's 3-on-1. And this is why I don't like these kind of matches. However, with the dissension in the Shield that they've been hinting at, we might get surprised. That might be their out. But we'll, again, have to wait and see tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe to continue this dissension or whatever, we can have like maybe Ambrose about to do a finisher on or get ready to do a move on Punk. But I don't know where Roman Reigns comes in, hits the spear. And basically Ambrose will be like, "What are you doing, man? I had him." And then it causes more dissension.
So Ambrose's ego wants him to get the pin. Yeah.
Yeah, because he continually says on the, every time he's on the mic, "I'm the longest reigning champion currently you guys have." So forth and so forth. In a way, it just got a question. If they do the breakup in the end, who's going to be the face and who's going to be the heel?
Well, I mean, Ambrose, I can't see him in any time within the foreseeable future being a babyface. I mean, let's face it. I love Dean Ambrose to death, but his character is a complete douchebag. So I don't see if anyone's going to turn face. We've heard talks about Roman Reigns turning face. I like Seth Rollins as well. And I think his mannerism, it was like last night after Roman Reigns fucking, you know, crippled one of the Usos. And as he's going for the pin, Seth Rollins just drapes his arms over the ropes and smiles.
Yeah, I can see maybe there's the dissension between Reigns and Ambrose, and then Rollins is trying to be on good sides, but in the end he may side with Ambrose against Reigns and making Reigns the face.
Right. Yeah, it's possible. A lot of scenarios we'll have to see. Our second 3-on-1 match, Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Harper, and Rowan. Daniel Bryan's so hot now that I think this match goes a little differently than the Punk and Shield. I think if you really, really want to make Daniel Bryan and look like a million bucks, somehow he finds a way to win. Somehow. And I don't think you do it by, see, this one's different. You're not going to have any dissension in the Wyatt family. That wouldn't make sense. You're not going to do that. I think this is just going to be one where through his skills, I think you either Daniel Bryan wins or the Wyatts get the win. But if they get the win, then what, you know, what do you do? I had speculated about maybe Daniel Bryan joining them, but the more and more I think about it, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, this is one that made me more question what's going to happen. Maybe if Wyatt, Bray Wyatt, one of them joins us, then where he's telling his guys to back off and all that, and he looks at Daniel Bryan, he's just saying, hit me with your finisher. And Bryan's like, what? And Wyatt's just like, go ahead. And he gets hit, and that's it. And then you continue this angle, like, will Daniel Bryan join the family?
Well, I mean, JBL, that's all he fucking talks about. So, I mean, I see, Bray Wyatt, and you know what? You make a great point here. And you make a great point that I didn't think of. Bray Wyatt's craziness may come back to haunt him. Where somehow, because he's such a fucking nut, he screws it up and somehow Bryan squeaks out a win.
Yeah, or he just allows Bryan to get the win and says, here, I'm showing that I'm willing to help you. Hit me with your finisher. And basically get the win.
And then you have Daniel Bryan in the ring like, the fuck? And they just walk. Yeah. I could say that's a pretty good booking scenario right there. See, you're learning. You're learning real fast.
Yeah, we see that WWE's been listening to the network.
Oh, no, they never listen to us. Don't put that out there. The main event, and we're going to go forward before we go way backwards. The main event, of course, you all know what it is. John Cena, the WWE Champion, versus Randy Orton, the World Heavyweight Champion.
You might want to reverse it. Orton's the WWE Champ, and Cena's the World Champ.
See, now it's really getting out of hand because you're correcting me. I'm so used to Cena. I'm not even marking tape. I'm going to leave that in there and give Anthony his 5 minutes of fame. I'm so used to Cena holding that fucking title. You're right. Randy Orton, your WWE champion, versus John Cena, your World Heavyweight Champion. There will be only one. The McMahons and the Helmsleys and the fucking Stephanies and the Canes promised us there shall be only one champion in a title unification. TLC rules are in effect. No rules, essentially. Tables, ladders, and chairs involved. And if you've seen Randy Orton and John Cena wrestle before, and you have, because they have a million times, but in these type of matches, they seem to have no problem with attempting to murder each other. So I think this is going to be a great... Do you remember that fucking match where it was a hardcore match, and I think fucking, was it Orton or something who like tied Cena up and was caning the shit out of him? It was the I Quit match?
Yeah, it was from the one time only pay-per-view Bragging Rights.
And I'm sitting there like, holy shit, this isn't a work. These, of course it was, but in my mind, I'm like, this isn't a work. These guys want to end each other's fucking careers. So, as far as in the ring goes, this main event, I mean, I'm stoked. I cannot wait. Even though, yeah, it's the millionth time, and again, the IWC's bitching, but you can never say that when these guys get in the ring, Orton and Cena, they don't deliver. Anyone who says that, you're fucking insane. So this is going to be, I think it's going to be hardcore. I think it's going to be almost to the level of an ECW match. And who will come out on top? I don't know, because on the one hand, Orton is put in the unique position of having something to prove. Cena has been kicking his ass on promos every week. And that almost leads me to believe, and like we talked about earlier, it has to be legit without help. I'd like to see Orton go over, but the cash cow's involved in this match, so I don't know. What do you think, bro?
I'm saying this could be a match that you're going, okay, this can happen because of this, and this can happen because of that. Yeah, in a way, you kind of think, oh, it's going to be interference, but I'm kind of thinking it's going to be that. But I'm really hoping there isn't, because just straight up one-on-one, I want to see these guys go at it in a TLC match. Because I remember when Cena had that one against Edge a couple of years ago at Unforgiven, that match was just great. And I'm hoping we get at least as much as that for this coming up show.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, there's no doubt that I think we will.
One more thing. As you notice, there's only one TLC match. Usually in the past of this brand pay-per-view, we had one match was the tables, one was the ladders, one was a chair. We're not getting that this year. It's just a regular TLC match, which is the main event. And I think that's a good move. Because if they had a ladder match, which most likely would probably be the first match, a tables match, and a chairs match, it'll make somewhat devalue the TLC match.
You know, you make a good point. I might have thrown a minor one in there. Speaking of a minor one, you know what? I'm going to work with what you gave me. And, you know, I mean, if we're going to talk about a minor match you could have added a stip to. Oh, my God. On the YouTube pre-show, Dolph Ziggler versus Fandango. Dolph. Man, whose sister did this guy fuck?
When it comes to Dolph, I think he's his own worst enemy, because he says some stuff. Yeah, he's basically just being straight shooting, but in a way, he doesn't know when to pull back. Or he's just self that he just doesn't without really worrying about the consequences.
Now, if he doesn't know when to pull out, then you have a problem, because then you end up with a bunch of kids. But as far as pulling back, I hear what you're saying, man, but this was a guy who the crowd was so hot on at one point. Is it wrong and cruel and evil and vicious for me to say that he's almost down to a Zack Ryder level at this point?
No, because at least he's on like once a week on the shows. What was the last time we actually saw Ryder on TV?
Yeah, that's true, but...
And I mean in a match, not as a background character.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been, you know, I've never really been a fan of these fucking, you know, YouTube pre-match, you know, pre-show, excuse me, things. I mean, I just, and for Dolph to be at this level on a pay-per-view is just, you know, you look at guys like Ziggler, you look at guys like Miz, who were at one point so high on the totem pole, and, you know, the only phrase that comes to my mind is, you know, how the mighty have fallen. It's too bad, because I think he's got a lot of potential, but it looks like as of right now, you're probably right. He's in the doghouse. I don't know, brother. Don't know.
Yeah, and currently there is, not counting the pre-show match, there are 6 matches for this pay-per-view. I would not be surprised we see a bonus match added, most likely Kofi versus Miz, with somebody, some stipulation, maybe that. Okay, I meant the program between them is like, what the fuck? But overall, they've been having pretty good matches.
Yeah, that's true. But if anything, I would have rather had that be the pre-show match.
They had that last month, remember?
Yeah, true that. They did. But you know what? You might even go further and throw us a bone. And see, I know what you're saying, that you should limit the amount of TLC, but I still think you need one more. Maybe for the fuck of it, you add that match onto the card last minute and you make it a tables match. Just for the hell of it. Someone got to go through a table, and whoever goes through a table loses. I think you might need one more. Yeah, it's a good scenario. And after what we saw on SmackDown last night, yeah, good. You're probably right, because Fucking Miz left Kofi laying and says, you know, there's your receipt, there's your payback. And you're right, but if they do add that match, hopefully they'll have a stip with it.
Yeah, I'm saying if they wanted to put a tables, ladders, or a chairs match anywhere in this pay-per-view, they shouldn't have made probably the Punk Shield match the tables match and make an elimination. So then let's say Punk gets two of them out, then I don't know where the third member gets the win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems like they either overdo or underdo, and they're kind of underdoing for tomorrow night.
Yeah, like they're doing two Hell in a Cell matches, which fortunately apparently that pay-per-view's done after this year. They do two Elimination Chambers, which I'm hoping does not happen. If they're going to have one again in February or whatever, let that be like for a contendership or a future title shot.
Well, I mean, Hell in a Cell used to be you slapped my sister in the face, stole my wallet, burned down my house, kidnapped my kids, stole my car. You know, that was a match where it's gone so far between us that the only way we can fucking resolve this is we try to actually take each other's freaking lives. That, I mean, of course, it's not that far. I'm exaggerating. But that's how Hell in a Cell used to feel. Two guys who have spent the last 6 months doing everything they can to kill each other. And finally, the company itself says, you know what? You guys want to just freaking go in there and put each other in the hospital for the next year? Okay, Hell in a Cell. I'd have no problem with them getting rid of that pay-per-view and making a Hell in a Cell an every so often occurrence between two guys who have done everything else there is to do to each other, and this is the only option left.
Yeah, I think the only real big Hell in a Cell match they had that was not associated with the pay-per-view was Undertaker Edge at SummerSlam.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that match was beautiful.
Yeah, it should be a special attraction. It shouldn't have a whole pay-per-view dedicated to it. It's like when sometimes they do two Elimination Chambers. One is fine. It's a brutal enough concept where one is enough. But while TLC is a brutal match in itself, I just think that you need more than one. Not necessarily two TLC matches, but you could throw a chairs match in there. You know, a ladder match, not so much. But you could throw a chairs match or a tables match with the stip, obviously. Again, whoever goes through a table, that's it. It's over. And they might, maybe they'll take your idea and do Kofi Miz in that context. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, and for the Rumble, most likely people are going to say it's just going to be a rematch of the main event on that upcoming pay-per-view. What do you think they should give a guy who's somewhat on the bubble getting into main event, getting that title shot?
Well, I mean, we went back to our scenario before. Whoever becomes undisputed champ tomorrow night, I see a workaround to the rematch clause. So, yeah, I would think, unless, and we talked about this before with JJ, unless you really screw over tomorrow night and there is no undisputed champion, in which case, then that idea goes into play where the winner of the Rumble is the undisputed champ. But if you don't do that, then the winner of the Rumble is going to get a shot at the undisputed title, no doubt. Now, the odds on favorite among a lot of people on this network and a lot of people on the Facebook group and in the IWC is you have Daniel Bryan win the Rumble. My problem with that is we keep hearing all these internet rumors that it's going to be, they're working towards Daniel Bryan HBK at WrestleMania. In that case, you almost can't have Bryan win the Rumble.
Yeah, no offense. It cannot just be, I'm okay with him, but it cannot be Cena again. I'm sorry. Have Cena have like a big profile match because there was a rumor of him and Triple H might be having a match, which I'm okay with because, no offense, he cannot be in the world title match again at a Mania. It's too much.
Oh, by the way, speaking of rumors, to everyone out there who's been reading this rumor, I'm almost thinking of starting a rumor segment on this show. This rumor that, oh, What if Triple H runs in tomorrow night with a referee and he becomes the new world champion? No. That would be a move that would be shit on to the point where the internet would be... If that happened, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, don't expect to have internet service because the IWC would shut the internet down. I don't see that in a million years. Triple H has firmly anchored himself now as an executive, as a member of the authority. But then again, remember what he said last night? We know where our loyalties lie. But you know, imagine another screw job. Maybe Triple H sends someone else out during that match to try to screw over both Orton and Cena, where Triple H says, fuck both you guys. But it being Triple H himself, nah.
Yeah, it cannot be. But I'm just saying, let's say if Orton wins, let's say they have like Cody Rhodes, since there's a history between those two, both in the past with Legacy and most recent with Cody being quote-unquote released because of Orton. Let's say he gets the shot at the Rumble. And let's say, Cena, you don't have a return clause because it was just for the world title, but there's no title anymore. You're in the Rumble, but since what's best for business, we're going to let you only pick numbers 20 through 30. They are just going to do 30 this year. And yeah. Then let's say Cena gets screwed over, maybe by Triple H or something. They can do that match at Mania, as been rumored, as I said.
Well, I think next week we'll be able to rewrite our theories. I mean, tomorrow night's going to answer a lot of questions, and we'll be able to, you know, just go back on these theories. I don't see any emails right now, so what we're going to do, we're going to close things down. Guys, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out everything else on the network. Of course, the podcasts of the whole indie show, check that out. The Elite Force podcast, both the midweek and the weekend edition. Download those, listen to them. Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman, taking you back in time every single week for all things in wrestling history. Check out that podcast. It's very good, very enjoyable. Let's see. Sticks and Flicks by Ashley. Listen to that one. Good one to download. On your way to work, on your way from work, gives you something to do. Download all the podcasts here on the SNS Radio Network. Running the Ropes is on hiatus right now. We'll wait to hear from Maverick and see what's going on with that show. Tomorrow night, well, or tonight, depending on when you download this archive and depending when I fucking put it up, check out Sunday Night Showdown, where myself, JJ, Mark the Shark DiCarlo, we will cover TLC live. We might end up very angry towards the end. Who knows? And of course, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live, unplugged with myself, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, and Anthony covering NXT for us, Raw Reaction, news, anything you could want. So guys, make sure you check all that out.
Didn't Mark the Shark said he might bring in the Notorious Wild Turkey?
It's possible. It's possible tomorrow night's show could be very, very interesting. Because if JJ's on the Wild Turkey, I don't know. I might just tag out and let you fucking do it. But then you'll really be a host in training. No, I will be there. But anyway, tonight to end the show, I'm going to dedicate a song to myself. Bea and I busted my ass on the snow today. I think there's only one song that's appropriate, and I'll be playing that for you now. So once again, thanks for listening to Get in the Zone right here, only here on the SNS Radio Network. Anthony, say goodnight.
Good night, guys, and enjoy the holidays.
Peace.
I get no